And it's interesting to say that my story starts when struggles start, but I really believe that, like, you learn so much and you find out who you are from, like, facing, like, the negative points in your life and some of the hardest things you have to go through. That's when you come out in the most positive ways.
Hey everyone, welcome to Yes I Am podcast. My name is Armand and I'm your host. Make sure to follow our Instagram at YIA_YesIAM so you will never miss any of our podcast episodes. Also, go ahead and check out our post. We have very inspiring post about Yes I Am and what it means to find your why and lead with your why. For today's guest, to introduce our today's guest, there's some stuff I need to tell you about it. One of them, she's inspiring. She's a hardworking. She's a leader. She's actually our one of our sports team captain. She is number 7. And her name is Grace Messi. How are you doing, Grace?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
We are happy to have you. We have our last 2 years MVP with us today, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, and I mean, we will definitely talk about the volleyball and what you've been achieving for sure. But you're going for the all-time record in our program, right?
I am, yes, and this is the last year, so hopefully I'll get there.
Oh yeah, for sure. So let's just first get to know you a little bit more about who you are and why you do what you do. So Grace, what is your story?
Okay, so I would say my story, I'm from Beaverton, Oregon, so I'm close to home, going to Oregon State. I love my family, I'm close with them, I wanted to stay close to all of them. I grew up going to private schools. I wouldn't say a sheltered environment, but I was really put in like a good space to grow and learn about myself and figure out what I want to do and be able to reach the places I have today. But I would say me personally, my story probably starts in my junior year of high school. And that's when I kind of faced like my first times of adversity and like struggles. And it's interesting to say that my story starts when struggles start, but I really believe that, like, you learn so much and you find out who you are from, like, facing, like, the negative points in your life and some of the hardest things you have to go through. That's when you come out in the most positive ways. So, my junior year of high school, I lost a classmate, well, we all did at our high school, and that was shocking for me. It was the first time I really was faced with losing someone. And even though I wasn't close to her, it was interesting to me to see people grieve and see people so upset and heartbroken and losing someone so pure and someone who got along with like anyone. And what I really faced with that was I completely lost my faith with God. I grew up Catholic, so I always was taught about God and stated I was Catholic. Even though I really hadn't found like my personal connection with religion, what I did have was completely lost. I pretty much blamed God for taking her away and blamed God for pretty much everything negative that happened with that situation. But interestingly enough, like 6 months later, after that happened, I had never been stronger in my faith. And what I realized after that whole situation was how much it brought people together. So not saying this is a good thing in any way, shape, or form, but it was kind of an eye-opener for me to realize that everything really happens for a reason. And it's weird, the timing of situations and the timing of things and how things that seem so terrible and heartbreaking end up leaving a bigger positive impact than they do negative. And just the legacy that this girl left behind, like her example and how people changed after that, how people were more open, more vulnerable, more loving, more kind after this girl passed, just kind of made me think like this person left for a reason, for leaving us a legacy to follow, like footsteps to follow. Wow. And then after that, fast forward to my senior year of high school, I lost a really close family friend who was like a brother to me and my three sisters. And then within that same month, my grandpa. And really, so like that, in that past year, that year of my life, I had lost three people that I was kind of close to. That was the only time I faced loss like that ever in my life. And what I got out of that situation was seeing so many people heartbroken, seeing so many people that I was close to, families heartbroken, like you could give up, like they wanted to give up, people so strong, seeing them so weak, I feel like is just an eye opener, like seeing so much pain. But then the more important side of that, seeing so much happiness and love being like shared and shown after that situation, that's the part that I remember from it. And this guy, Taylor, he was one of the happiest people you'll ever meet. Like everyone that knew him and shared stories and memories about him, everything was so positive. And connecting that with Ruby, our classmate who passed away, was just such a realization for me, thinking like God has taken two people from us, but two of the most amazing people who are gonna, with them passing, are leaving just such a positive path to follow. And that's how like my faith got really strong throughout high school and stuff like that. And really just like perspective change and how you look at life after that, and how you realize that time is not unlimited and you only have a certain amount of days to live, and how you want to live that and how you interact with people. And then you start to be more loving. You start to be more positive. You start to forgive more. Everything after that situation is so positive. And I think learning that changed the way I lived my life and how I go about relationships and my time and just everything, really. So that's really, I would say, my why and why I do things and why I'm positive and why I am the way I am and why I love and why I choose to forgive was definitely from those losses. But yeah, they were life-changing, and it was terrible to lose people, but you can always take more positives from the negatives that hit you and come your way, which is something I try and tell people and tell my little sister, things like that, like put things in perspective, stay positive. There's always something to learn, to grow. Everything's going to turn out okay. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. All right. I did not expect this story, honestly. Like, and like, I'm trying to pull myself together because I definitely can relate with losing someone, especially that losing someone changing my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, when you were talking, I just made a very, very deep connection with what you said, because my journey also started in a very similar place. I'm an international student, and I haven't seen my family in 5 years. And in my end of my freshman year, I'm in a very dark mood, and someone that I love the most in my life, and I saw her as someone that I always like want to follow and like learn from, was my grandma. She just passed away, and that was a turning point. And when you were just talking about it, I was like, okay, I'm going to try to keep myself together to kind of carry this conversation. But thank you for sharing the story.
Yeah, and I know that stuff is like deep, and a lot of people don't like to talk about that stuff. But when I think of my why and my story, a lot of people know me as like volleyball player, leader, really accomplished in her sport. But when I think about like myself, like personally, I think about more deeper stuff than that, more deeper, but more personal, and like the things that really actually drive you to do the things that you're doing. And volleyball is a byproduct of that for sure. Like I lead in a positive way in volleyball and sport and everything. And I think that was a motivator for me in my sport as well. But behind that is like the stories we just talked about, you know?
That's definitely true. You know, it's not very important what you do. It's important why you do what you do.
Right.
You know, there are so many people doing some stuff. They don't even know why they're doing what you're doing. But like those that know why they do it, you see how more driven they are, how more passionate they are, you know, because they see a reason behind what they're doing. And yeah, that's just so impactful. You know, when you talk about death, bringing people together, there was this one thing when I think about death, and I think about why, you know, the day that you die, even people that did not like you feel sad, you
right.
know?
Right.
And mm-hmm. it's just very interesting that, like, okay, if when someone dies, even those that hate you are going to feel bad and they're going to, you know, then why are we not kind with each other? Why right. we go through all of these, you know?
Right. Yeah, I think thinking about that and putting things in perspective, a lot of times when I'm going through little challenges in my life, like just things aren't going right, I'm in a bad mood. Because even after saying all this and saying how I'm positive and I like to love and forgive, like I'm not saying my life is perfect. Like I still struggle. Everyone has challenges. But the difference now and what I've learned from those experiences is like thinking about what I'm struggling with or what's annoying me and thinking about it from future perspective.
Yeah.
And thinking like my future self is going to be okay. Like in the future, what I'm going through right now is really not a big deal. Like, how do I want to get through this? How do I want to go about it? Like, do I want to dwell on this for 5 days or do I want to give myself 5 more minutes and move on because there's more important things in life, you know?
That's for sure. So,
yeah, definitely putting things in perspective was huge for me. That's one of the biggest things I've learned through all of that. But yeah.
Grace, you know, I always ask this question, but I think the answer you will give will be very, very interesting. And is, you know, knowing you from what you just said, I really like to know, let's imagine this one day, you're 80 years old, it's your 80th birthday, I don't know, I there's something about this question I love, you know, just thinking about that day, your 80th birthday and your whole family is there for you, yeah. your kids, your siblings, hopefully your parents, and everyone is there. And you receive this one letter from your kids that they are writing a letter to tell you what you mean to them, you know, and what they have learned from Grace. What do you want that letter to say?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I think we both could agree after you speaking about your grandma and how much she meant to you and how much like older people in general, how knowledgeable they are, like how much information like they give you and show you how you want to be, you know, they give you like dreams and make you picture who you want to be when you're older. Like you get that from older people, you know, you see things and you're like, I want to be that. I want to do that. I want to be like that person when I'm that age. And I would say when I'm older, I just want to be known for making an impact, leaving an impact on people with every interaction I have with them. I want to make them feel worth it. I like to make people feel like they have a purpose and that I'm listening to them and they matter. And that's motivating in a lot of ways. And yeah, I want to be known as a really positive person who likes to give and makes them feel like a big person. Yeah, I really like to give back. That's another thing I was going to mention to you too about my story was I went on a trip to the Dominican Republic with Oregon State Athletics. It's called Beavers Without Borders. And it was the most life-changing experience I've ever had.
I was about to ask you about it, but like...
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it kind of ties into this answer because when I'm older, I want to be known for what I have done with my life, my career after college, and what I want to do was sparked by this trip. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I went on this trip to the Dominican Republic. This was my sophomore summer, so almost 2 years ago, which is crazy to think about. But this trip, so we went to the Dominican Republic and we worked in an orphanage with these kids and we helped build the orphanage or fix it up. Like we fixed up what was there and then we were building in the top level. But the most life-changing part of it was making relationships with these kids and seeing the poverty of this country and compared to what we have in America. I've never traveled, I've never experienced other cultures, I've never seen poverty like this. And being faced with it, the first thing I think is, oh my gosh, when we go see this orphanage and these kids, they're going to be miserable. Like, how do you live off this stuff? How do you live in this like cement orphanage and this is all you have? How do you not shower every day? How do you not eat every day? everything was going through my head about how miserable these people must be. And then meeting these kids in this community that we worked with, they were the happiest people I've ever met. And they were so loving, so loving. And they wanted to help us when we were helping build their orphanage. They wanted to help. They wanted to be involved and just like wanted to touch you, wanted to love you. Like, it was crazy to think about how happy these people are with how little they have. And that, it made me want to do service for the rest of my life. So after college and I graduate, I'm hopefully going to play overseas for a few years to experience some other cultures. And then I want to start a nonprofit that takes professional athletes overseas on to third world countries to do service trips because of how impactful it was. And as much as like I thought going into the trip that we were going to help this community and these kids, like they helped me so much more. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it because I miss it so much. Like, this trip was crazy. These kids were so happy, and everything they taught me, I'm never going to forget that trip.
You know, it's very interesting that you said that. I'm a product of a third world country. I'm from Iran. Right. And, you know, when I think about all these country, you know, there is this one thing that I think is very unique in all of them. And that's like the concept of family and love. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. the sense of family that exists in all of these, you know, all of this country. They're all together. You know, in my country, especially in like small cities, your door is always open for someone to come in and just to like spend some time with you. And I kind of wish we had this here, you know, to like people a little bit more open to each other, people be more kind to each other. And wow.
Yeah. There was
thank you for sharing that. Yeah.
Yeah. I was reading through my little notebook I had when I was there, and I was writing down like what happened each day. And that's funny that you said that, because one thing I wrote, I was like, these people are so trusting. Like, random people are coming to help them, and they're so loving, and they want to be friends, and they know everyone in the community, and people just drop by, and there's so many people, and they're all so happy. And I said, I wish people like that were more, or people here were more like that, you know?
Yeah.
Just open arms, so trusting. They don't care who you are. They want to make a connection. And you can make a connection with anyone. Like, they spoke Spanish, and I barely spoke Spanish from high school. I forgot practically all of it. And you can just form connections with people no matter, like, the language barrier. It's crazy. Like, the human nature is you want to form connections and relationships. And, yeah, that's something I will take with me forever.
You know, last week I was talking to Connor, and Connor said something very interesting about the human language. You know, and human language is smile, you know, language is hugging, you know, these are human language that no matter where you go, it means the same, matter where you go. And that's just so amazing.
Yeah, it doesn't matter the language barrier. You don't have to speak to show people that you care, show people that you're happy, that you love. Yeah, smiles and hugs. That was a lot of what was happening in the DR for sure. We couldn't speak to each other or understand, but you could still speak to each other, you know?
Sure, for sure. Wow. Again, I'm telling everyone that's watching this, like, after you shared your story, I really got connected to this whole story. And then after that, you talked about the third world country and all this kind of stuff. So I'm feeling very, very related to this conversation. So
yeah, I'm glad.
You know, one thing I would like to know is that you actually mentioned when you were talking was that when we go through struggles, it's always when we get through them and when we succeed them, there is something beautiful and amazing waiting for us. You know, that lesson and that gift and anything you want to call it.
Yep.
But at the same time,
go ahead.
Go ahead. What were you saying?
I was going to say the grass is greener on the other side, if you will.
So I always say it this way. I, you know, and I want to kind of live my life and build it based on this one simple concept that life has ups and downs, and that's just how the life is. There is no way you will live a life that's a perfect going up. It just doesn't work like that. You know, if it was always going up, everyone was perfect and everyone knew everything and all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But their life has very ups and downs. And it's the one thing that makes it more interesting is when you go down, that's the most important decision that you're going to make, to give up, game over, or learn and figure it out and go up for a blessing and the lesson that that challenge gives giving to you.
Yeah.
You know, and it's very interesting that when we go down, there's something, and when we overcome it, we're going to go high. We're going to go get a very big gift out of it. And the next time that we're going down, it's going to be harder for sure. It's going to be harder for sure because we already know how to deal with previous challenge. And if you want to learn, this time it should be a harder challenge with a harder ways to figure it out. And then, but you're going to go get higher. So what I want to know is, how does Grace deal with these challenges? When you went through that phase, the death of some of your very close people, how did you get through it? That decision to like, okay, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to say it's game over.
Oh, it's crazy how everything is just fitting perfectly into this conversation. And it's interesting that you just mentioned all that, because Taylor, my good friend who passed away, who was like the brother to my sisters, he had a tattoo on his arms that said, fall 7 times, get up 8 in cursive. And I loved that. And now I have it tattooed on my ribs in symbol form. But now I live by that quote, fall 7 times, get up 8. Because of course, you're going to struggle. I struggled a lot. But yeah, the way I look at it now, how I got through it before was, after I built my faith back up after the classmate passing, I just kind of looked at Taylor's passing, which was probably like 10 months later. After his passing, I was, of course, upset, obviously, but I was looking more at, it's crazy to me how two of the most happiest people I've ever met have passed away. Like, why? What are the odds of that? And to me, it was God choosing that it was their time to go. This is kind of an interesting way to look at it.
Oh, yeah.
But it was their time to go. They lived their path. They inspired so many people. Everyone who was still living had only positive things to say about these people.
Wow.
And I think their path was just like lived to the fullest. And all they could do then at that point was inspire other people's through their passing to live like them, and to be like them and be more positive people and take life more seriously and things like that. So I think my faith got me through it at that point. Just thinking, I always tell myself everything happens for a reason. I put everything in perspective. When things go wrong, I think it's happening for a reason, that something better is going to come out of it. Fall 7 times, get up 8, you know?
Everything does happen for a reason, even this conversation, this conversation, any person we meet in our lives. I had this conversation with my mentor and he said something to me. He said, I don't know why I met you, but I know there's a reason that I met you. Mm-hmm. We may not know what that reason is, but we will one day figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he said, for me to figure out what was the reason I met one of my friends, took me 8 years. 8 years. But the outcome of that 8-year friendship and relationship was absolutely worth it. Absolutely amazing. It's very interesting how life works. You know, we never know. We never know why things happen to us. But when we have that optimistic vision and we think positively about it, you know, I like the way that you think about the death of Taylor. You know, people learn from it. And I really love even thinking about death, because you know, you can think about death as, oh God, I lost this person, they're never gonna be with me, da 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 da, you know, crying, all those kind of stuff. Sure. But what can we learn from that person? What can we learn from that event? That's the important part. You know, that's the positive way of thinking about it. You know, I'm definitely with you there when you say, you know, there's always a positive side of stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and grieving and like losing a physical person is obviously going to be extremely tough, but losing their physical life, yes, you can grieve from it, but their spiritual life that they leave after that for you to follow, that's going to lead you somewhere like you're never expecting, you know. There's always something greater to come out of stuff for sure. Yeah, I'm not saying there's not going to be difficult days that you think about it and you're sad, mm-hmm. but I mean, you're human, you know, that's going to happen. You have feelings, you have emotions, but it's how you come out of that moment, how you come out of that situation. That's the important part.
It's the two way of game over and the lesson and blessing, you know, you mm-hmm. got to choose the lesson and blessing, because if you choose game over, it's going to get dark and it's going to get hard to
stop,
you know?
Right. Go ahead. What you mentioned about everything happens for a reason, and meeting people and your friend realizing why he met that person 8 years ago. I think about that a lot too on relationships that don't end well and you lose people. I think that still leaves a lesson for you, and you learn from that relationship and things like that. So yeah, it's crazy how much your relationship has an effect on your life, not like extending past the end of that relationship.
Yeah.
You know, like those will last forever. Connections last forever. Humans want to connect and form relationships, and you learn so much from that.
That's for sure. That's for sure. You know, the slope of life, as I said, is never hot, like straight up, but it could be straight down if you mm-hmm. keep choosing the game over. And that's just a very dark place to be. You know, mm-hmm. the reason that we are having this conversation, we are talking about the challenges and struggles that we go through, is I think the main reason I ask this question is very simple. I want everyone to know that facing a challenge and a struggle is just a way of life. It happens to everyone, you know. I think, and that concept is very important, because I feel like whenever we know we are not alone and there is someone that we can relate to, it will help us to get through it easier, you know. But when you think like we are alone with this struggle and this challenge, and everything negative is coming towards me, that's the time that you're gonna lose it and you're gonna go, no, game over, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
What I wanted to ask you. So, but because it just gets very personal for me too. But I really like what that trip told, like taught you, the Beavers Without Borders. If you want to, I think you already kind of touched based on it, but like, if you want to like pick one event and that happened during that trip that was very meaningful to you, what would that event be?
The whole thing is hard. It's hard to pick because the whole thing is so meaningful.
Yeah.
But there was one moment. So we worked at this orphanage Monday through Friday. Mm-hmm. And then the last Saturday and Sunday, we went to Santo Domingo and got a tour of like the cultural aspect of it. Less of the service work and more of just like learning about the culture, which was nice. But of course, our favorite part was working with the kids. But I remember that Friday we were leaving that night, the kids were just bawling and hugging us. They didn't want us to leave. It was one of the hardest things leaving these kids. But just thinking about it on the drive back to the hostel we were staying, thinking about like how much these kids had bonded with us and wanted us to stay in 5 days without even really being able to speak with them, like only through nonverbal communication, smiles, hugs, like we were mentioning earlier. And how hard it was leaving these people. I think that was one of the biggest takeaways, is just how much like humans want to connect with other people and form relationships, and you can do it so easily when you humble yourself and you guys get on the same level, no matter where you're from, no matter your language. If you can understand each other, you're going to form a connection so quick. So I think, yeah, leaving those kids and just seeing how hard it was and seeing how upset they were and how upset we were, how strong our bonds had formed just through little things, that's something that is probably the most memorable thing I'll ever learn in my life, to be honest.
And you know, relationships with kids is the most honest relationship ever.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
There is nothing about them that you need to like kind of say, oh, you know, why do they do that? They're so honest. They're very true. And it just, so I went to this, I was serving this homeless shelter for a week. And I remember that we were teaching the kids there at night. And I remember the first couple days of teaching those kids, the first night and the second night, was the time that they were like not listening to us, you know, being crazy, being kid. And I remember the last day was all hugs, all like, no, you should all like stay here, we've been bonding with you, you know. And that yeah. That was like roller coaster. It was,
yeah, that's fun.
Yeah. So Grace, let's a little bit get into the field of volleyball, you know, the court. All of these lessons that you just talked about, how do these lessons help you when you are in the field and performing, and how you communicate and the relationship that you build with your teammates?
And I'd say that's the same across every sport when you play. It's just a different mindset. It's kind of not in reality. You know, you're in game mode. It's competitive. Things get heated. But the way I like to think about it and the way I like to lead my team is in a positive way, in a lead by example. That's definitely taken from lessons I've learned, which we've talked about. But I like to think about volleyball and lead in a fun way. And, you know, again, if you put yourself in the future and you look back, and I look back at me playing volleyball at Oregon State and the way I led, I'd much rather think about, oh my gosh, I had so much fun. You know, people fall in love with the sport. That's why they play. That's why they do all this stuff. That's why they wake up at 5:30. That's why they train hard. That's why they get no sleep. Because they fall in love with the sport and they want to keep playing. And I think people lose that a lot in college because everything's so demanding and time demanding, and you don't have a whole lot of the social life of college that you think about in high school, you know. But yeah, I like to bring back the fun side of it and like the why you're playing and like motivating children who are watching, like little girls who want to be like us. Thinking about that stuff makes playing and doing all like the demanding little tasks, simple things that you don't want to do, it makes it so much easier to think about that stuff and why you're playing the sport. Kind of like the why I do anything, why you ask me the why of my life. But it's the same thing for athletics. Mm-hmm. And it can get so competitive and hard, but thinking about why you're doing it and remembering why you love the sport just brings you back. So that's how I like to lead. And I try to show my teammates that I'm still having fun. You know, I'm in my fourth year. Of course I'm tired. Of course it gets hard. But I still love doing it, and I still want to play. I don't want to leave. I don't want to leave college.
You know, I feel like college is a part of the life that I don't see that academics at all. You know, I think like academics, sure, they're important, but college is all about relationships that you build and human relationships, soft skills that you learn, leadership, time management, inspiring, all these great stuff that you learn. It's college is all about that. You know, it's all about how to perform in life. You know, exactly. You know, I like to think about it as, okay, we get the knowledge from the classes, but we learn how to apply and how to perform with those knowledge through conversations, through clubs, organizations, for communities we join for college, you know? So I want to like encourage people right now that, you know, to start thinking about college as the best opportunity that they get to build a community, to network, and to learn a lot of soft skills. Because out of college, you're going to be this in giant world. Everyone is very busy with their own stuff. And it's hard. It's hard to bring people. It's hard to just call your friends, hey, see you all at that place at 5. Hard to do that because everyone is busy. But in college, no, you can do it.
I know. Yeah. I agree. I think college is the biggest learning opportunity. And thinking about myself as a freshman coming to college versus who I am now, I have grown so much. It's crazy to think about. Like, if you just compare yourself, anyone really, their senior year of college, comparing them back to their freshman self, the difference is insane. And that's all through the people you meet, like life experiences. Yeah, and as much information you learn in classes and from professors, of course, like that's going to take you far in your career and everything. But the life skills you learn go way beyond that.
Grace, I want to ask this one thing because I want to know what was the impact of your parents in your journal. How they changed your journey and inspired you?
Hey, I'm sorry. My internet connection was a little bit unstable. Could you repeat that again for me? You're glitching a little bit.
Yeah. How family, your parents, have impacted your journey? You know, what have you learned from them?
My parents. Okay. Where do I start? My parents are amazing people. They're both teachers. My mom is a mental health counselor for the Sherwood School District, and you can just tell in and of itself with her career choice, she loves to help people, she loves to give back. And my dad's the same way. He's a teacher at Graduate High School, which is where I went, so it was really cool to have him in my life in that stage of my life and be a teacher for me too throughout high school. They are just some of the most giving people I've ever met. My mom and her career into our family, and my dad and everything he does. He is the most humble person. I say his biggest value is integrity. And a lot of students at Jesuit don't really like that because they think he's a stickler on the rules or whatever. But he started this club at Jesuit called the Starfish Club. And it's about doing little acts of kindness for people throughout Jesuit and not taking any credit. So it's like little secret stuff, whether it be getting donations on gift cards to give to the cleaning staff or giving out Valentine's and writing little notes for people and sticking them on their lockers. Things like that, putting up lights up around for Christmas time so people get like the holiday spirit. He started this club and I was a part of it. And that is something that I think really shaped my life. And it's interesting now after I've grown and matured looking back at it, because in the moment, I didn't realize all the things that they were doing and how they acted towards me would affect me in the ways that it does. But looking back on it now, like, they're the reason that I think I was so inspired to or motivated to apply for Beavers Without Borders and go on this trip to give back. Like, they push for service, they push for giving back, they push for making places a better place to be for everyone and making everyone feel equal and loved. And yeah, so I would say my parents were a huge part in shaping how I think about other people, how I think about how I go about relationships, how I'm constantly in my head thinking like, how can I make someone's day better? My dad would always tell me that leaving for school, he'd say, how can you make someone's day better today? And then he'd ask us when we got home after school, what did you do to make someone's day? Did you hold someone's door? Did you do something? Like, he's such a great man.
I want to give you the opportunity to say something directly to your parents. So when they watch it, they will see, oh, this is for them.
Mom and Dad, I just want to say thank you for making me the woman I am today and making me such a humble person who is grateful for everything she's given in her life and constantly wanting to give back to other people and not take things for granted and just love other people and want to give back and want to make the world a better place and leaving a positive impact for other people.
Thank you, Grace. As our last question, I think you talked a lot about the lessons that you learned in your journey. What is the lesson that you learned in your life that you think it's very important for everyone to know so they can anticipate apply it to their lives?
There's a lot of lessons I've learned, but I'd say the greatest thing that I think about most often is to always put things in perspective, to take things with a grain of salt. When you're struggling or going through a hard time, to think about not only how you're probably going to grow from this situation and be better off, even though it may suck in the moment, but also your situation compared to someone else's, other people could have it so much worse. And to really humble yourself and bring yourself back down and just think about what's really going on, the importance of it, the weight of it, and things seem a lot easier. It's a lot easier to get through things that way. So that's probably the lesson that I think about most.
Thank you, Grace. It was very lovely. It was very, I personally had a lot of like, could relate a lot of this conversation. It was a very lovely conversation. And I don't know, I usually do not get emotional, although I think I am a very emotional person, but I don't show my emotions. But I think this conversation kind of made me emotional, especially at the beginning when we were talking about the death of your, some of the most important people in your life. And this was very like, authentic conversation, and I want to really thank you for that. Thank you for sharing your stories, and I believe a lot of people will definitely benefit from this conversation. You know, a lot of people will start understanding that, you know, we should put things in perspective. You know, there's always a positive side of thinking about events that happen in our life. Grace, we call ourselves Yes I Am because we believe you can be whoever you want to be. You can be whoever, whatever person you put in front of Yes I Am. So if Grace wants to put something in front of Yes I Am, what would that be?
One word.
One word, one phrase, one sentence, up to you.
Oh my gosh. I am kind and I'm positive and I am humble.
Thank you, Grace. Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone, for watching this. Thank you for all of the love and support you're sending to us. We are very grateful for this podcast. We are grateful that we started this organization, Yes I Am, because of the impact that it has had so far. You know, when I started this organization in 2019, what is happening today was a dream that came true. You know, that came true. I dreamed about events and workshops that people can be vulnerable at. You know, people can feel, they can feel the trust. They can feel comfortable to share stories. I've dreamed about these type of conversation that would inspire everyone to think more positively and start with your why. Start thinking about why you want to do what you do. And this day, when I look at what's happening at Yes I Am, it makes it hard for me because I know we always got to get better every day. You know, as soon as we start, you know, being a straight line, say, okay, we succeeded, that's a game over. You know, we got to every day get better and find a way to get better. So I want to encourage you all, if you would like to be more involved with Yes I Am, DM us through our Instagram and let us know. And we will definitely set a meeting with you and talk to you more about how can you get involved. And also, if you know someone that you think it will be very interesting to have them in our Yes I Am podcast, let us know. Let us know for sure. And again, thank you so much, Grace. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. It was very lovely having you. And as always, yes, I am. Thank you.